This is my first time in Montreal. Gwendolyn McEwen wrote, "Water will never lie to you." In response, I wrote, "No, water will lie to you, make you believe this unmarked end isn't deep, until you go in without enough air to find your way back. It breaks light before light knows where it is and takes shape uncertain of its own. In the palm of a hand, a glass lifted to drain. If you wait long enough, you can watch it give up its grooves, its scars, keeping warm, cold, losing itself in what it didn't want to become." The snow. The snow tries so hard to be like the rain. It will fall into the same places, an open petal, a trellis stem, a metal fence. It will know the hard pound of cement against its cold chest, what it is like to be left or thrown aside, the path of every gutter. And that everything in this world is against it, even the sun. A grasshopper. A grasshopper leaps into heaven, asking for a place. At every leap, heaven turns it away, places it back into this field. Its small body, worn down and beaten, clotted and covered with so much earth, poised to ask again. Light. Because glass has not yet learned to bend, and because even now, glass will not bend. Light must come in bent. On the cover of my third book, Light, there are 42 acorns, and all of them are damaged. There is only one that is perfect, but it's the least interesting. Agnes Martin, Untitled, Number 10. This is a clearing, a rule you will bind to yourself, like a promise to begin. It's the color bone is when you take it out of itself, the color of cold when the sun doesn't come to its calling. It's the shape and shapes water could be, the direction light can travel to get to you. It's the plot and path of a small single letter, the face of a country you can make yours. The lines, the grids, the marks are here. Leos. In Icelandic, the word for light is leos, and the word for poem is leod. What happens at the end can change everything. One ending starts in the middle, makes a left, circles back slightly off mark, then makes a right, slides a little further down, and ends in the middle again, looking back at where it's been, knowing exactly how far it has come. The other ending starts in the middle too, drops down, finds its way back, and then goes further, pointing a sword at some high heaven, never looking back. It is said everything in the universe contains the same matter, that we begin somewhere in the same place. The matter responsible is as close as one last end veering off. Fight. This is how you say fire in Lao. Anything that has light must acknowledge that first fire. Fai Mai is fire when it's burning something down. A house burns down, a forest, a city. Fai Sang is flashlight, a man-made object, a thing you take out into that not knowing. Fai Fa is thunder, that scrawl of light in the shape, that scrawl of light in the shape broken things first take. Fai Mot is what happens when you're not expecting it to. It's a power outage, a burnt bulb. Mot Fai is when you do something to light. It's a far reach set above you, a calling out of place. It's a turn, a switch in the wall you go to find. Fai Mot, Mot Fai. When you learn to swim, it will be different here. You can take a leap off this ledge 10 feet and never touch ground. You can hover in what could be air, lean back further and further and further, and something that feels like faith will lift, will hold you up. But it isn't faith. It's some kind of physics, law, a rule of matter, put in place, set in place, as old and as constant as that sun, that unsettled speck, that shadowless thing, that thing to have. The dark. The dark is light when light isn't here. It comes in the same way, takes up what light left, and makes sure to this it comes back. Bear. It means you are light, that you can begin differently now, that you've taken it all off. It means to show your tooth and claw without the work, the polish, the appointment. If the ending were different, if you placed the last letter right after the beginning, it would be an animal, a power, a warning from which to stay away. Face to face, maybe you'd see they're really not all that different, both just trying. A rearrangement, a shift, a move out of place, a spine realigned. But it would take that, wouldn't it? That face to face to know. The box, a light bulb comes in. It says this light bulb will last 1 year. Its light output is 830 lumens. Its life is 1500 hours. It uses 60 watts. A Buddhist temple is called a wat. It never gets replaced. And one is never built to look just like the other. Every candle inside is a lit prayer and glows at the center ever more bright. Its light output in lumens and its life hours haven't been marked down. To keep it going, someone somewhere is keeping account, preparing a return. The dung beetle. The dung beetle has been given this all its life, and all its life it has quietly sifted and culled each bit, each piece, as if each bit, each piece had been lost to us, a lesser light dropped from pinned points in the night sky. Each bit, each piece, rounded up and rounded out, a circle to be made solid. A circle it will one day be called upon to drag up into the open and set for the rest of us a rising sun. The sun does not know. The sun does not know what it is like to be cold, or how to take in that dark around it. And it doesn't even know what it looks like to each of us in our turn at its rise, at its set. Birds, a description of them in the sky. A cluster fell to the ground in a small heap, tossed out like bits of unused black fabric. They fell slow and in small batches, like ash tapped from the end of a burning cigarette. Any sudden move made a handful leap back into that blue upturned tray, that dump, that ash receiver. Postcard. The real hour of the day is not known. The sky is blue-gray. The snow is flat in these fields. Bare trees line themselves along the horizon, like shards from black glass. The sun, if it will rise today, will begin on the left. Every shape of cloud has been here once. In an hour, the buildings will be the first to rise into view, each building a neat ordering of glass and light. Nearby, a needle sticks out. Two circles at the pointed end, a thread through, the start of a beating. These circles are different in size. They do nothing but offer us a different view of ourselves, an assemblage of pretty dots and moving bits. Into this, we are coming for the real hour of the day. A thing I find impossible to lift. Still light. Next door, there's a small cat. Long white hair with patches of black. It knows to go out there the few hours when the trains don't run. Along a single rail, it balances its weight, careful, controlled, a tightrope walker. At night, it walks the whole block, quiet and deliberate. You can tell if it loves you by what it brings to the front door, the part of the mouse it leaves you, soft. The hard part, the head, a tumbleweed of splinter and bone, removed, thinking it's made things easy for you. That's its idea of what love is, a thing without its head. A volcano. A volcano is what happens when you try to take the sun down from where it is. You don't know it yet, but here it won't come round or be bound to you. It will spill itself out into everything, and you will wait for its light to be put out. Wait to scrape out the bits left by its cooling over. Joule. A joule is a unit of work and energy. A joule is a gem, a thing you mine the earth for, a thing that occurs when laws and elements line up under the right conditions. To the ear, each alone is the same. Only as written words do their differences come clear. The first letter, a hook, a drilled ground, a deep shaft. It's the letters that follow. They are ordering set like layer and rock, element and time. The eye can discern this way, separate each to their difference. I will read one more. It's titled Perfect. When I am 14, my father will quit his job and sell our home. He will use the money to start a sign-making business. He will start by buying computers and big, heavy equipment, and we will spend nights sleeping in the van. I'll try my best to sleep, to close my eyes and feel warm in my wet socks and thin winter coat. In the mornings, I'll brush my teeth at school and comb my hair so I'll look like nothing is wrong with me. I'll wander the empty dark halls before the students fill them, and sometimes I'll sing and dance like a star in a Broadway play. When I see a teacher, I'll sit quietly outside a classroom door with a heavy book in my hand. Moby Dick. The only teacher to ask is Miss Irons. I will tell her that I'm just so excited for school and I'm so happy to be here. It's not a lie. I'm happy that for the whole of a day, I'll be warm and I can be with my friends. I don't tell her all the other stuff, that this will be the year my parents' marriage will begin to fall apart, that they'll stop dancing in the living room, and that my mother will stop making me beautiful dresses which match hers from leftover materials, that the bottles full of color and fragrances dry up. I didn't know it then, so how could I tell? After school, my mother will pick me up and drive for hours. She'll sometimes stop at a lake somewhere in cottage country and listen to the radio. She'll walk back and forth, never saying anything. And I will bow my head and work out the math problems in my homework. The math problems are easy. They are always about some guy who had to get to the other side. There's always an answer, a sure thing. You just have to work your way there. Everything you need to know to solve it has already been given to you. There is no secret but the answer, shimmering alone without any signs around it. I will keep my print small, filling up every blank space I can find, like a captain plugging leaks in a sinking ship. It will get dark, and just as the sun sets, the street lamp will turn on. I will angle my notebook to catch this light, this light. I will go back to school and hand in my notebook, and it will be perfect, perfect. It's what I've earned. A friend will lean in and announce my score, and I'll hear someone ask, how'd you get perfect? I can't begin really to say what it took to get it that way. It's perfect, perfect. Thank you.